I don't know if you guys have a boss that keeps an eye on you, but when I was working in Baltimore, I had a newspaper column. I don't know if you remember Who's Reponable in the city paper, but it was a funny little photographic documentation of things gone wrong in the city, and I ended up in it a lot. And it was partly because I ended up managing a lot of city landmarks. Like, I worked the facility manager for the American Visionary Art Museum after helping to build the mosaic there. And I finally ended up working at the Bromo Seltzer Tower, which was sort of a dream because my grandmother had introduced me to it as a kid when she would take me to see blaxploitation films at the Hippodrome. She loved Pam Grier and would always tell me, Jerry, one day I'm going to start carrying a straight razor up in my beehive and see if they mess with me then. So when I got headhunted to take over the Bromo Tower, I had to do it. I love the visionary, but it's the Bromo Tower. I had to take it on. And it was kind of an interesting job. I managed a lot of the details of, like, getting the space rented. It's all, as you know, or most of you know, it is occupied by artist studios and exhibition space. It had a great stress-relieving thing that when I was really strung out, I could always just go up into the clock room and do maintenance on the clock. And the trouble was, I didn't know anything about maintaining a 100-year-old four-face Seth Thomas tower clock. I was a gearhead. It was just a little bit different than French cars and Vespas. But by the time they went to do the restoration, as you know, the tower has had its original clock mechanism restored. It's working like it did in 1913 with a pendulum and everything. When they were setting up to do that, the family who was going to do the restoration came in and they said, you have done such a good job maintaining this. It's perfect. It's been kept clean. The things have been done right. And I said, you don't know the half of it. Because one of these days, I was working on the clock. Time was rolling out. I had to catch the last MARC train out of the city or I would be stranded in Baltimore. And that's not bad, but it is. So I ran out after working on the clock, and I did not realize I'd left a ladder in sort of an odd position. And when I came in the next morning, I got off the MARC train at Camden Yards, and I looked up, and the clock was stopped. And I thought, oh, God, I'm going to end up in the paper. So I head up the street, and I come on in, and what had happened is the drive shafts for that clock had big balance bars on them, and I had left the ladder I was using to work on it a little too close, and when I got to the clock room, it had picked it up and turned it all the way around the room and jammed it against the ceiling 25 feet overhead, this 16-foot A-frame ladder, and I'm thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to deal with this. Well, we had an old ladder that we had replaced, the original 100-year-old ladder that came with the tower when it was new. So I climbed up on this rickety thing, which is like being up on the mast of a ship, and I just kind of very carefully unbolted the drive shaft that was attached to the ladder, thinking it'll just effortlessly fall down. I'll pick it up. It'll be fine. I'll reset the clock faces and everything will be great. But that's not actually what happened. What had happened is because in the old days the clock was powered by a motor, unlike the pendulum mechanism, which when something jams it, it'll just stop, the motor just keeps winding it up and up and up. So I unbolted it, and the second I did, the ladder swung down onto the elevator mechanisms. And from behind me, the other balance bar that was nearest to me flew around and conked me in the head like a Three Stooges bit, at which point I turned and the gears for that part of the clock face caught my shirt and pulled me up into the machinery, at which point I was dangling and making a lot of noise. My shirt tore in half. I fell, and when I fell, I ripped my pants in like a magical kind of tear that circumnavigated all the way from the bottom of my fly to my butt. And I thought, I have to take a train home. I have no pants, and I have half a shirt, and I'm a husky guy, and we don't take our shirts off ever. But fortunately, I had a nun's habit in my office. So I decided at the end of the day, I'm gonna get my nerve up. I'm gonna put on the nun's habit, but not the cowl and the wimple, and get on that train looking like an Amish drag queen and pretend to everybody in the universe, this is just okay. This is what people do now. Yeah, occasionally the big black shift. And so when the clock people asked me, they said, where did you learn how to work on the clock? And I said, I don't know. I've had some experiences with it. It's taught me a few lessons, and that was mine. Thank you.